You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Prime Minister Bill English suggested the other day that the TPPA should go ahead without the US's involvement, which I spoke to these two people because they both have very differing opinions. Jane Kelsey says that it shouldn't go ahead and it's pretty absurd. Like, why are we even trying to do this? And Kirk Hope says moving forward with the TPPA deal is New Zealand's most viable option to prevent isolation from the world's trading markets. So we'll check that out. First up is Professor Jane Kelsey, who I spoke with earlier.
Well, I think it's both economic nonsense and unrealistic. If we look at the opposition that there's been to the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, not just in the US but across many of the other countries, governments should be taking the message that this kind of deal is no longer what people are after. They're wanting a much more sophisticated, nuanced deal that's not negotiated in secret and not simply designed to benefit corporations. So we shouldn't be spending more political capital and more of MFAT's resources running after a failed model. Mm-hmm. So I think we're seeing a little sign of desperation from the governments that are pushing this. It's mainly Japan, New Zealand, Australia, and interestingly Vietnam. But yeah, you have to ask, one, given that they had problems saying that there were any economic gains from the TPPA, even with the US in there, what they're going to claim are going to be the benefits of one without the US. And second, are they going to leave in all of the toxic things that the US demanded, for example, on patents to medicines and copyright rules and investors' rights to sue and so on, so that the US companies get the benefit of it without the US actually having to make any market access concessions in return?
Do you think you could predict how this agreement would affect New Zealand if it did go through?
Well, it would have all of the really bad things that were raised throughout the 6 years of negotiations and in the select committee process, which actually were pruned out of the final report of the select committee, which I suppose shows just how ideologically driven the government was in getting this through. But it would also mean that the so-called national interest analysis that accompanied the agreement would have to be rewritten, taking out of it the claims of the economic benefits that there would be for New Zealand in having the agreement. One of the sales pitches for the agreement was that this was the only way that New Zealand could get a free trade agreement with the US. We have FTAs with almost all of the other TPPA countries except for Japan. So they'd have to go back and revise all of that. Then they'd have to put that before the Parliament again because the agreement would have changed, and they'd have to try to justify this before the Select Committee. And the Select Committee would have to decide, especially if it's this year in an election year, whether to try to sell the unsaleable and whether they would take submissions, in which case the unsaleable would be exposed, or ram it through without people having submissions, in which case the anti-democratic nature of the process would become an election issue. So, I mean, it seems to be a real own goal for Bill English if they plan on proceeding with this year. The tide is really turning on this, and there's quite a good debate that's starting already in the US and Canada about what a real alternative to these models might look like. So these governments, including Bill English, are determined to try to cling on to the failed models of the past and not engage in this debate.
Now that the US has withdrawn, this is obviously really good for China. What do you think the ties between China and the US are going to be like in the future?
The US-China relationship is going to be very fraught, and one would hope that there is going to be some rational discussion happening in the Trump administration about how not to inflame that, especially given that China owns a very significant part of America's debt. Mm-hmm. But there is a separate set of negotiations that involves China and ASEAN and New Zealand, Australia, Japan and Korea and India. And that one has been going now for several years. It's going quite slowly. And there is a bit of a push going on to try to get some of what was in TPPA in RCEP, and there's a real push back from some other countries there. So, you know, China is going to model an agreement on what works for China, just as the US did in the past for what worked for US corporations, if not for US people. And so China is very focused internally and meeting its internal needs and how it can invest and export stuff from other countries such as raw materials that are going to support the development of the Chinese economy and the development of the middle class there. And they will be quite a different style of agreement, and we're seeing this now in the RCEP negotiations, which I've also been monitoring. But they're nowhere near being finished either. And so I think this year is going to be really interesting. There's going to be a battle of the models. There's going to be a battle of who are the key players. Some of the big industries, especially the new digital ones, who see the digital platforms as being the big new 21st century economy, are going to be pushing to get rules. And we're going to have a lot of resistance on the ground from people, communities, workers, and legislators who don't like these models.
Definitely been lots of ideas for models going around as well. Also, I read the other day that the Green Party said Bill English could use the opportunity of trade negotiations with the EU to push for a new type of trade agreement that promotes sustainable economic development and helps create an economy that works for all New Zealanders.
I mean, that's what they should be doing, and that's what the discussion in New Zealand should be about how we read the messages that are coming through, including on the TPPA, and how we start talking about doing things differently. Instead, we've got a kind of Pavlovian response of, okay, well, this one's falling over, how do we rescue it, and how do we keep doing the same old flawed thing in the future? And so Barry Coates is right. There does need to be that discussion, and it's not going to come from government, so it's going to have to come from communities who are sufficiently concerned to try to work with like-minded people in other countries and develop those options. And certainly there's a momentum for that in parts of Europe, including members of the European Parliament.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te waia, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
That was Professor Jane Kelsey talking about her opinion on the TPPA and how she thinks that we shouldn't go through with it and we should look to possibly other trade agreements instead. This is The Wire. It is 12:35. Remember, you can call into the studio on 309 3879 or text in to 5395 if you have any exciting news things or opinions you want to share. Now we'll have our second opinion in the TPPA deal thing.
Yes.
This is Kirk Hope from Business NZ. He's the chief executive, and he thinks we should continue to go forth with the TPPA.
It'll probably be challenging. I mean, I think it's the right political signal, obviously. But again, it'll be challenging. So, I mean, Trump's signal that he's really only interested in negotiating kind of high quality bilateral free trade deals, and that might mean that Japan will be focused on getting a bilateral deal with the US and potentially turn its back on TPP as well. And therein lies the challenge for New Zealand, because those are the two biggest markets really that we would want to have access to under TPP.
Definitely.
But that said, if a deal of some quality can still be executed with the remaining countries, then that's better than nothing, frankly.
Do you fully agree with Bill English's statement about moving forward with the TPPA deal, or do you think we should try out new trade agreements?
No, I mean, I think, look, there's been an awful lot of work that's gone into the TPPA or into the TPP deal to get it to where it is. So you don't really want to discard that. And I think, you know, look, many people challenge the quality of the deal, but again, it's better than nothing, would be my view. And you'd probably want to, you don't want to discard all of that, what I think is pretty good work, and getting it to where it is today.
Do you think we should discard any of it?
No, I mean, I think, as I said, something is better than nothing, and again, there's been a whole lot of work that's really gone into it. I mean, I think probably if we look back and reflect on the process, maybe some of the more challenging things have been around, you know, communication of the benefits of TPP more broadly. So I think that's probably been a really big challenge, both from a political perspective, but well, it's been a big challenge from a political perspective, clearly. TPP allowed access to around 800 million consumers, so that's really, you know, if you remove the US out of that, that halves it. But nevertheless, that's still, you know, access, better access to around 400 million consumers for New Zealand exporters that they wouldn't have had before. So so that's why I'm saying I think it's still, it would be silly to think that it's not in some way beneficial.
What kind of new trade agreement or solution would you propose if the TPPA deal was not to go through?
There's a couple of other options. One is a China-led option for a regional free trade agreement throughout Asia. So, you know, there are other options, but again, the thing about TPP is it's a really long way down the track, and any of the other multilateral agreements are pretty much in their infancy. So you know, there's a long way to go.
Yeah,
it's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
That was Business New Zealand Chief Executive Kirk Hope, who was presenting obviously a counter opinion to Jane Kelsey.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.